together and lifting up the name of Jesus. And God, I ask that we will do that in our hearts every day, not just today, and that we'll seek to be guided by you in all that we do. God, thank you for the opportunity to go across the ocean and see some people who love you and some people who need you. And God, there's people like that here too. Help us to be motivated to look around us and see those who are without you and to have the courage to go in your strength and talk to them about you. Thank you for this morning and thank you for bringing each person here. I pray for your blessing and encouragement in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Debbie, it's all you.
Okay. Well, this was like before the part I was going to do. Can you get that?
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Yeah, we'll just go from there. While we were in the Philippines in the Nehemiah house in Cagayan del Oro, they sang for us. This is a thank you to us, but it's also a thank you to you. I just had to bring that part back. My 10 minutes will start like right away. If you'll hit the fast forward to the next squat. Yeah.
Maybe do that one?
Yeah, just the fast forward. There we go. Okay, so this is the gate to the Nehemiah house, and these were the girls. We were welcomed in with our hand being brought up to their forehead in blessing and welcome. And they were so excited. They gave us a feast with a pig. Yes, Beth. And they danced and sang and had a good time with us. And we were the guests of honor. This is Patty and Mark, our missionaries. This is the Nehemiah house in Cagayan del Oro. And it's really set up nicely for kids. This is where they do the dishes. They do as a big group. And this is what they call their dirty kitchen. Yeah. The reason they call it a dirty kitchen is back in the back here, they actually build a fire and they'll cook with the fire the more traditional dishes, not all of them, because next you'll see that we have a real kitchen for the rest of the food. So, and there's some of our kitchen staff. Yeah, so here's the Nehemiah house. There's a climbing wall back on the back. There's a place to hang out and play. And see how clean the floor is? That was the place that was all covered with mud not too long ago. we were very welcomed, and they were just great kids. We just had a great time with them. Then we went outside. We saw some of the places. This was one of the places that was flooded out and washed away. This is their kitchen. They're living there now full time. Actually, they were the day after the flood too. That's their living room. And it may not actually get built up much more than that. This is the main street of town. And this is where a lot of the flood damage happened. Now, the river was there. A lot of people died in this flood. And so our girls at the Nehemiah House were really blessed. But then we went to Pandan, which is a neighborhood in Hingaog, where we stayed with Patty and Mark. The house that they stay in is there. This is another house, which doesn't look much better than the flood, does it? This is where they wash and wash their clothes, and that's the main street of town, which wow. also is wet. Interesting. And there's another main street of town when it's dry. We went and visited a 94-year-old woman. She's like the oldest woman in town. This is her kitchen. This is how it normally is. This is her home. That's the whole thing. And that's where it's crumbling down. That's concrete, by the way. This is more of an upscale home in Pandan. And this is one that's under construction. See how small it is? They're all pretty small, and they're all pretty kind of temporary-ish. This is when the floodwaters were in because the tide was up. So we're walking through town. There's some houses that are a little nicer than others. They care about a little more than others. And some that are just kind of crumbling around your ears. But they pretty much kind of live right on the edge of what they have to do to get by. Partly because they're not real motivated and partly because they're poor. The house here is the Kenny's at home. It's built with the same kind of material, but with a little more time and energy and TLC, not much more money really. So it's their way of encouraging the villagers that it can be better. That's a standoff between a cockroach and a, anyway. The whole community kind of meets in their home. They come in. Patty does wellness checks with the kids and any kind of medical things, they come to her. We went off on a building project, okay, because we were there to work. So we took materials to this little bitty church. Yes, this is a church, see the pews, sort of-ish. Yeah, we used them for sawhorses. Yeah, Dan and Steve built bedroom furniture, which replaced the bed, which was a board on top of some plastic chairs. And I built a stairway, which replaced their ladder, which was scary even for their little kid. But and that's the replacement ladder, okay? But that one's sturdy. Yeah. It doesn't look like much, but they won't die on that one. And that's the bedroom furniture we put in. That's a sand floor, and that's also gonna be their Sunday school room, and they live in the church. That's their home. It's interesting. So we prayed for them that the building wouldn't fall down around their ears, and I told them where to triangulate. Then we went, we built some more things at the Kenny home. This room that we're building in now is going to be used for these kids to meet. These are the kids in Becca's Bible study, which started out as a play group and evolved into a Bible study. And so they're learning about Jesus. This is actually their skit they're doing here. They had a skit, they had snacks, they had Bible study, they wrote stuff down, they learned things about Jesus, and let me tell you, they love Becca to death. She is just fun with these girls, she speaks their language like a native, and they just love being a part of this. She has three of those groups on a Sunday morning. Look at her interacting with them. She and her family constitute Zoe Ministries, which it really is wherever they are an outreach and they are to love on everybody. So she's definitely an integral part of that ministry to the village in Pandan. They just love her to death. Patty and Mark do a lot of different things. As they're part of the ministry, Patty was doing two women's Bible studies. Okay, this is our building project in Pandan, in Hingaog. at the Nehemiah house there. And you see, we didn't have a lot in the way of special tools like sawhorses and plumb bobs, but we got a lot done. And then we went to a dinner there. There were a few less girls there because they're just getting started on the year. Some of them are brand new, but they still got to know us fairly quickly. This is their house mom. They call her Mama. And this is a concern for me. This is their fence. If you grab it, it will crumble. It's a security fence, and these girls are actually in danger sometimes from their abusers, and I would like to see this fence replaced. So that's one of the needs that I think is important, but you guys can decide for yourselves which things you want to support. They have a good fence. Yeah. So we went out with them to the pier in town, and apparently fruit is big there. We got to play with them, we got to walk with them, we got to talk with them, we got to hug them, we got to just hang out and be mellow. We got to sing while we were walking down the pier, and it was just a magical night. And they appreciated us so much. We rode in the back of an open pickup. This is one of the Bible studies. Gals with babies, you can relate. They were giving out baby clothes, and everybody was happy about that. This was the Bible study that Mark runs. It's with the entire village. It's a mixed group, and they were so much fun to hang out with. And this was a Bible study that we did in the water because it came up, and yeah. It was great to get to know them. We got to worship with them. Thankfully, we had interpreters. We got to sing for them. We got to sing with them. We got to praise God with them. We got to hear them and meet them and live with them and see how they live and encourage them. We got to kind of walk in their shoes a little bit and feel what their life was like and say, you know, this is good. You guys are good. They have kind of self-esteem issues there, and they need to hear that their way is not a bad way. It's just a different way, and we want to know you, we want to love you, we want to get close to you, we want to hear what you're about. And I think that's a big part of what Patty and Mark do, and that's a big part of what we tried to do while we were there. We played with the kids, we got to see what they were all about, and then we introduced them to soccer. Mark has this idea that sports is a good way to teach people about Jesus. You know, things like teamwork and persistence, things like that. Well, today he wanted to teach them about celebrating. Which it might be a little over the top, okay? I'm just saying. All right. But the thing is, we walked with them, we walked in their world, and they appreciated us. And I'm glad that we went and got to share that with them. It was an amazing journey. An amazing journey.
We're happy. We're so blessed. Friends and family like you. You stand, Pastor Dan and FJ, especially the Kane family. Thank you so much for all of your prayers and mental support for Baby Mark. And also, thank you for the comfort that Baby Mark died. Even though there's a part of our hearts empty, we're trying to move on and be more lonely in God's presence. Because we want to give Baby Mark to another to Jesus. We're hoping that we'll still be part of your prayers. And please send our thank you to the Church. And thank you for coming here in the Philippines. We're so glad.
Is this thing on? Cool. So there's a little bit too much to cover in just one like little short segment. So since I was the one who got to tell you all about the flood damage, I'm going to show you where things are at now.
You
so
want
you can start with the photos.
Photos first?
Yep. Okay. So if you go and stand where the floodwaters first started to come in. Oh, wait, first, hold on. This is evidence that we can send Jason Bowen to the Philippines. And he won't start.
Nice.
One less excuse, Jason. Okay, so this is standing right at where the where the floodwaters started to come in, when they started to crest up over the land into the areas that got flooded. You can see the concrete down the lower right-hand corner. This is from a bridge that the floodwaters took out. Yeah, they got that high, they just took the whole bridge down. They've pulled the rebar out of the concrete to recycle it because, well, they're that poor. Next one. This is facing the other direction downstream, and where the water's kind of falling down a little bit. Sorry about the sunshine, it got in the way. When the river's low, they can actually ford across that, which was the premise for this putting the bridge in initially. That island there, I've got more pictures of it, but that island still has, if you're standing here, you look around and you're like, what flood? Because it looks like nothing happened, because the flood was so, it scoured everything so clean, you can't tell people used to live on the side of the river. There's like nothing there. You kind of see some like spots where like there might have been houses, but what happened is the mud laid so much fertile dirt along the sides of the river that everything's grown up in the last 6 months. So there's just plants and trees and things growing there, and you're like, no, nothing happened. But if you look in the island, unfortunately you can't because of the glare, there's a bunch of debris on that island, and they've had to go in and cut into the debris to remove the bodies from it, and they were still just finishing that up. So, next one. Yeah, there's a picture of the debris. So the government was sending crews out in there intermittently whenever they could get out there, and not a good thing. Next one. So this is at the bottom of the fort thing. These guys, they come in early in the morning, because this is like 6:30 in the morning, and they'll just wash their cars there if they can't get across. Next one. That's part of the bridge that got taken out. Now that's up on a hill. To give you an idea how tall the water was, this is probably 10 feet up on a hill, and that's the pylon for the bridge, and it got wiped out. So when the water decided to crest the land, it wasn't just like, oh, here's a few feet of water. It was a lot, because when you're standing down on the riverbank, you're like, okay, 8 feet of water, no big deal. Except, you know, you start to look and you're like, wait, I'm 10 feet down from the level of the land once you get up the hill to where everything's about level. It was 8 feet once it got up to that level. So there was a lot of water. Next one. This is some people who are rebuilding on the side. To give you an idea, that's about where things start to get level when I'm standing down on the ground. So when it was 8 feet from the bottom there, up. Next. So some of the people decided to rebuild with concrete, which isn't a bad idea. They're using cinder block, but their construction techniques are subpar by American standards at best. But little houses that were concrete saved a lot of lives, that ones that held up. So some of the people are like, well, we'll build concrete if they have the money for it, although most of them don't. Next. This is a typical street in the flood zone. Doesn't really look like much happened. It looks like life's just happening here, but it's been 6 months. It's kind of hard to see, but all the little shops, they call them sorry-sorries, they're like little mini convenience stores, and they've all been branded with Coca-Cola. Because Coke came into the flood zone, and they said, well, we'll repaint your stores for you if we can do it in our colors and our name. So if you walk through the flood zone, you're like, oh, Coke owns everything down here. They don't own anything. What's really hilarious is some of the ones... You leave it there. They didn't have any paint on them beforehand. So it's an upgrade one way or the other. Like, they just had wood, and so they got flood damage. They cleaned off the mud, and Coke went in, came in and said, well, we'll paint it for you. And they're like, sure. Next. So you're walking along, and you think, there was no flood here. There's nothing. And then you come across a pile of debris like this, and you're like, oh, what's that there for? So, yeah, there's actually still quite a few damaged buildings in the area. Next one. This is one of the ones Debbie had a picture of me standing in. Now, we're at this point probably 100, 150 yards from the river or more, and the water was strong enough to blow the bottom out of this house. This is one of the larger houses we saw. It's all cinder block and concrete. It's two stories plus a roof you can easily access with a stairwell, so it's pretty big. I'd love to remodel it. But it blew out this entire wall. Next. This is the ravine next to that house, and we actually saw this ravine in the pictures. If you look at Patty's, if you remember Patty's flood damage pictures, the ravines with all the cars and stuff in it, that's one of them. This was completely full of just mud and debris and bodies and vehicles. Next one. There's the other side. You can see how the mud deposits are just causing everything to grow up. The government had to come in and take a backhoe in and remove all the trash and bodies, unfortunately. Next.
That was it.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay, do the first movie.
Yeah. Sure.
Couple short films. I don't matter.
Oh, come on. Your thingy, the jigger, disappeared. Sorry. It'll take a second here.
So the wiring up on the pole here looks, that's as normal as it looks in the entire Philippines. It's actually pretty clean looking. I have a whole bunch of shots of the wiring, and I show the adjacent. It's like appalling what they consider wiring. I don't understand how Modelo has them turned to the ground. I'm not even exaggerating. Like,
it's wet.
What?
So there was mud on top of the rooftops that we just raised
high. Sorry. No, it's good. This is what we're going to be looking at is the other direction of the same chunk of river. Go ahead and play. So Patty's saying his water came up onto the bridge. We're actually two and a half, three stories, depending on the level of ground beneath us, and the water actually crested the top of this bridge. Everything down there got hit. But people are rebuilding.
Really crazy. So this is all rebuilt.
So this peninsula up here, in the green, with all this wonderful stuff growing on it, that used to be a neighborhood where hundreds of people lived. There's nothing there now. There's just grass and stuff growing. Some people are rebuilding over here. This was another neighborhood that was just completely wiped out. And what she's telling us is that the government's forbidden them to build buildings next to the river. They're ignoring it, building anyway. So if it floods again, the same thing's just gonna happen. Part of the problem with what happens there is they straighten out the rivers because their thinking is that, well, if we straighten the river, the water will get out faster. And it will. The problem is that when it floods, it also hits you at about 60 miles an hour and destroys your entire neighborhoods.
Okay, so this is the Nehemiah house at Cagayan de Oro. And this is the same house everybody saw pictures of.
I don't know if you can hear that, but this is the same house that had all the mud in it. You saw the pictures of the house, the Cagayan de Oro house with all the mud.
Looks really good now. Everything is cleaned up. The girls have done a wonderful job. They're all playing. The tile is clean. This is the same place as you saw the pictures of, folks. A lot of work got done here to clean this.
This is where all the desks were returned and just destroyed. All the final cabinets were just destroyed. Yeah, it looks amazing. They've done a ton of work. They had a couple volunteer crews come in to help clean it up. But we're really, really blessed in the aspect of that they still have the house. The house didn't fall over. The concrete wall outside did. And Mark and his men's basketball team came and rebuilt that concrete wall, which is good because guys tried to get the girls. I'm just so happy they still have the building, because when I first saw those pictures, you know, I didn't get a full sense of the structure, and I was like, wow, how is that thing not falling down? Because that thing's still livable. So not only is it still livable, but they got it cleaned up and they're operating in it. So it's a real big blessing, considering that, you know, that how much water hit that house. It's just amazing it didn't go over. This is the intersection that is near that concrete house in those two ravines that I have pictures of. Go ahead and play it. Life looks pretty normal now. But this had, you know, 8-10 feet of muddy water come flowing through it at who knows how fast. These people here have money. So according to Mark and Betty, they were like up and running within a few weeks. They got the house cleaned up, they had crews come in. Because not everybody in the Philippines is poor. Turns out there's actually people there with money. But there's very much, it's like, here's the people with money, here's everybody else. And there's not a whole lot of middle class to be drinking. So it's really quite amazing. So things are better, things are good, the running water's back up where there is running water. You know, the government seems to not be involved in it anymore. It's just like, okay, we cleaned up what we could and now it's done. The other problem they have with flooding is that they don't do a lot of erosion control. We kind of make fun of it when we see erosion control on construction projects. We're like, oh great, why are we slowing down because of this? But what happens is a lot of sediment gets deposited in the rivers. They don't drain them, so that shallows the river, makes everything flow faster. Hey, now we'll straighten the river out and it'll flow even faster. So when you get floods, you're gonna get them bad. So until they get taught, this is what we do that causes you to not have floods, like, you know, building certain dams, dredging your rivers, doing erosion control. Until that gets taught and those things get cared about, this problem's gonna happen again to anybody who moves into this flood zone. So what do you do with it? I don't know. But that's where things are at 6 months later. I have a ton of other pictures and some other videos. If you guys want to see them, I'd be happy to bring them over and show them to you. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there you go.
So I think I'm live here. You got this? No?
Maybe? Possibly? Something? Okay, good. So we went to the Philippines mainly to support Mark and Patty Kenny, who are missionaries. We had a group called the Matthew 25 group that prayed for about a year to decide, you know, God, we need missionaries to support. And they can tell you the story. It's pretty fascinating. They were looking particularly at helping, reaching out to abused girls. So when Beth kind of said, hey, I have some friends I think are kind of involved in that, we had no idea how great a connection that would be. So we decided that this would be kind of a fact-finding mission, kind of an exploratory reconnaissance mission. The three of us would go out there, and our plan would be to see what we as a church can do in the Philippines. So that's the challenge that's before you today, to kind of think and maybe be inspired to see what you can do in the Philippines. When we first arrived there, I realized we were in a different world. We got to this hotel, and there were armed guards, several of them, to keep, you know, robberies from happening and theft and that kind of thing. But it overlooked this shanty town with roosters and pigs and noises and dogs. And I thought, we're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. So it was a very different world. And also, the heat and humidity hit you like a brick wall. You stepped outside of that air conditioning and you sweat. That's that. So pretty fascinating stuff. We got to the Nehemiah House, which is in Cagayan de Oro, which is one of the bigger cities on Mindanao, one of the southernmost islands in the Philippines. And there are 1,700 plus islands that make up the Philippines. And the Nehemiah House there is the bigger one. There are three Nehemiah houses that Mark and Patty work with. One is in Cagayan de Oro. This is the biggest one. There's one in Hingaog, which is where they live, or near where they live. And then one way out in the sticks. And the purpose of the Nehemiah houses is to take in abused girls. And I'm not going to tell you the details, but it's ages 7 to 17 or 18 when they graduate. And it's typically sexual abuse. They're brought there mostly by a government program, because the government actually allows them, finds them, and brings them in because they have certified counselors there to deal, state-certified counselors. It is a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel. They have full freedom to do that. And as you saw in the video, the girls are just so sweet. They make you cry the minute you see them. So they were so excited about having us there. They put on this huge feast with a pig with an apple in its mouth and lasagna. And I mean, you know, typical, you know, Philippine fare, right? Lasagna and spaghetti and a cake with our name on it. And they had posters up there, and it was delicious. And we felt guilty. Like, no, we're not that special. Please don't. Oh, okay, but it makes you feel good, so we'll go along. And it was really cool. And then the girls are just absolutely precious. They're just wonderful, and they love on you, and they think you're like some. You feel like a celebrity. It's amazing. It's like, I'm not that big of a deal. The girls, like I said, range in ages 8 to 17. And when they heard that they were going to get their picture taken, they said, oh, no, we got to go put on our dresses. So they put on their best dresses. It was just really, really sweet. And you can see there's some really young ones there. And then some of you made some hair ornaments to give to the girls. And here they are. I think that's just as sweet. They're putting the ornaments on each other. And they're so excited to get these little hair tie things. We're really excited. After Cagayan de Oro, we took a minivan to Pandan, which is in Hingaog, which is a city, you know, of decent size. I would say, I'd guess about 5,000 people. They actually have, you know, paved streets and that kind of thing. There is one highway that goes across the coast of Mindanao, and it's, you know, maybe 100 kilometers, but it takes over 3 hours to get there because of, well, I'll show you in a minute some of the traffic kinds of issues here. But they just welcomed us with open arms, and you can see this looks like the jungle, and it is, and it's humid. And they put up these posters, and we felt like, well, we were absolutely exhausted, but we felt like celebrities. I get to Mark and Patty's house, and I knew that I wasn't gonna have much privacy, but this is my room. And there's Bob, the chicken, and the rooster right there. And I can look out. They call this the 3D room because you are there. It's in 3D. And you're looking around, and you look out, and there's the fishing boats. There's the little sorry, sorry store. There's Bob the Rooster. You look over here a little bit. There's Wilbur the Pig. So, I mean, it's all there. Bacon and eggs right ready for me. Somebody pointed out that roosters don't lay eggs. Thank you for passing sex education. Really proud of you. There were chickens, too. But the chickens don't make as much noise. So another shot of that. Let's go. Here's my friend. We were posing for the camera. I was irritated when I got there because I am not exactly the kind of person who loves to get up in the morning with a lot of noise. And I need my space. I really need my space. And there was none. None. And the noise is constant, 24/7. And I looked at it, really, a rooster, like, I honestly, 4 feet from my bed? Really? This is not gonna work. Turned out that Bob and I really kind of established a relationship. He let me pet him, and he was maybe the quietest thing in the village when I think about it. So Mark and Patty's house, this is their upstairs area where they would dine. And they would, anytime anyone was near during dinner, they'd invite them up to have dinner. We had wonderful dinners there. They hired a 4-star chef from a hotel. This guy was out of work, and they hired this 4-star chef to make our dinners. We had some authentic Filipino food, and it was, how was it, Steve? It was spot on. I mean, you felt guilty. And it was cheap. $10 a day for our housing, for our food, and for our transportation. $10 a day per person. That translates to a lot of pesos. Let's see, that'd be 400 pesos. In fact, when we went down to a little sorry store, the first time Steve and I went, the guy goes, that'll be 10 pesos. I'm like, 10 pesos, are you kidding me? We bought a Coke. 10 pesos! Oh wait, that's a quarter. Yeah, all right. I can do that. So you kind of get messed up there, but you figure it out. So this is where they, and he built this. This is just an example of Mark's skill. He made this out of coconut wood and bamboo, and it's Gilligan's Island, man. You know, it's really amazing. Here we are in the church. The first day, we hit the ground running. It was crazy. We got there, and the first night we had to do this crusade, and Mark goes, "You're preaching, okay?" And you're sharing your story, and you're sharing your story, and Steve and Debbie are like, "Okay." And could you play some music too? Okay. So you're pretty much the feature for this crusade in the middle of town. We got there, and I got to preach with an interrupter for the first time, and it was good. But here we are in church, and we go to church the very next day. And you know what? It was vibrant. It was alive. These people love Jesus. And I know that Mark and Pastor Ben have built that up in the last 3 years to really turn that into something that's alive. But the band was good. I mean, I could worship there. And I'm picky. You knew this. So here it is. It's wonderful. They do a lot of songs in Bisayan, which is their particular dialect. It's not Tagalog, which is near Manila, but it's Bisayan. And I know a few words. If you want to hear them, I'll share them. And they're all clean words, so we're okay. I know how to say rice, because they love their rice. Anyway, there we are, and we're singing. Next slide. They welcomed us. They loved us. These little girls, the first thing we get to church, and they're hanging on us. They're hanging on Steve. You see this girl's like, "Oh, I want to be near you because you're big and you're white." And you know what? As far as being big and white is concerned, Steve and I do it really well. So, they had these little fans, and they're fanning us for the heat, these little, you know, 6-year-old girls. I'm like, oh man, wow, what do you do with that? You love them, and you feel guilty, and you don't know what to do. You feel,
can't tell them no.
You cannot tell them no. They will not take no for an answer, and don't want to be mean. So that was fun. Here we are a couple days later. Maybe it was the next day. I don't know. Was it the same day? It might have been. It was the same day, for crying out loud. It floods, and we go to this women's Bible study, and there's Patty in this Bible study, and we're sitting here with our feet in the water because life goes on. It's just the tide comes in, and it floods, and you're in two, three feet of water, and life goes on, and there's a lot of sewage in the water, and it's where the dogs go, and it's where all, you know, it's all there. So we're sitting at the Bible study, and we're having a good time, and my feet are in the water, and I'm kind of like, so I try to kind of put them up, but I'm being okay with it until one of the ladies takes her little baby and it just pukes right there. You know what? I'm gonna keep my feet up for a while till this drifts away. But they're all fine with that. That's okay. I got a nasty foot infection for a few days, but that's another story for another day. It's all cleared up now. I'm fine. Thank you for asking. Some of the work that Patty does there, she is a registered nurse, and she does a lot of just, people come to her, as Debbie said, they come to pregnant women, she does checkups on them, and so the materials that we have sent have been absolutely wonderful for her. The Band-Aids, she says the Filipino Band-Aids there are no good, and it's humid, so they kind of fall off, but the American ones stay there, and the antibiotics and everything, the triple antibiotic ointment that we send is just wonderful, and she uses it all the time. Use some on me, thank you. This little girl here, her name is Jewel, and she had a cleft lip where she had nothing here, and you could just see her teeth, and it was not pretty. And she's already had one surgery thanks to Patty, who intervened, who saw her on the side of the road one day and said, let's do something about this. That's the way Mark and Patty are. Ministry is there, and they just do it. They just see it in front of them, and they do it. Whatever it is, whatever it takes. And it comes to them, and they teach Bible studies. So that's Jewel, and that's her mother there. Patty on the left. This is Tomban. Ista. Ista is Bisayan for fish. Tomban is the type of fish, and this is what that village does. They fish. What's that? For that. And this was a good day, and they brought us a bunch of this, and we ate it, and it was good. I didn't have something to do with the way the chef fixed it, but man, it was fantastic. So there's a bucket of tomban, and there's the fishing boats on the beach. Now this is stepping right outside of Mark and Patty's house. This looks picturesque, and it is. But they go out at about, oh, I don't know, 10 o'clock at night. Their little Briggs and Stratton motors fire up in their boats, and they go out into the ocean, and they come back, and if it's a good day, it's a good fishing day, everybody knows, because it's noisy, and they're yelling, and there are trucks coming in, and we had a lot of good fishing days there. And it's, like I said, it's picturesque. I posted this on Facebook, and I said, this is where Disney got their inspiration for the Jungle Cruise. And it is. I mean, it looks just like it, and that's how they live. They do not need windows. They don't have windows. They just, generally, it's just open because it doesn't get below 72 degrees there. This is a little sorry. You can see that somebody has their house, and they put a window in, and now it's a store. And everybody has them. There is Steve sampling some of the local fare. Any guesses as to what that is on a stick?
Snake or worm.
It is. It's guts. It's chicken guts.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. And Steve, did you like them?
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, marinated, well cooked.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's fine. Steve did talk me into having a bite of chicken head, and I can show you that video sometime. Got a little chunk of brains in there, and thankfully chickens don't have much in the way of brains. Except for Bob, I think he... Transportation, we are from the back of what's called a Motorella, and we're looking at a Motorella, or several of them there. This is like a 125cc at the most motorcycle that they build a frame around, and they haul 10 Filipinos or 4 fat white Americans. I am not kidding.
Yes.
And yeah, and anything else, chickens, pigs, whatever you like. And again, we get in and say, we need a ride to Hingaog, which is a mile or two away. That will be 6 pesos. Whoa, that's like 12 cents, isn't it? So it's a pretty good deal. This is called a multi-cab. this is a three-cylinder beauty right here that hauls about 20 people. And I got to drive that because we had problems. One of the funniest things I saw, did you remember, you saw this, Steve, the last day that we were there, last full day, we were doing this thing for Compassion International, and there were 96 kids and their parents and all the workers, and here's a kid on the back of this thing just taking a leak. It's like, this is kind of fun, look at the ark, and so another kid does it, and it's like, this is the new thing to do, pee off the back of the bus. So that's the way they are, they're okay with that. Part of the construction project, OSHA not approved, I assure you here. So we did some work there in the Hingo Nehemiah house. This is another view of their fence. It's just more for appearances than anything else. The Hingaog Nehemiah house, which has, I'd say, maybe about 8 or 10 girls at this point, just absolutely sweet, wonderful, wonderful people. They welcomed us. They put on a dinner as well. We did some work for them. But that's real close to where Mark and Patty are, and they do a lot of work with them. They teach. They do construction. So we went there, and he says, today we're going to build a walkway. Okay, do you have a plan? Maybe. We'll try this. We look at the wood, and nothing is straight there. And said, well, we'll match the curves the best that we can on the wood, because it's just warped as can be. And we end up with something that looks kind of cool. It looks a little Dr. Seuss, but it's kind of cool. And these are the soccer goals we built out of stuff that was on hand, coconut wood and fishing net, and the kids loved it. I understand from Mark and Patty that a couple days after we left, the kids were out there playing, and every time they scored a goal, goal! I'm just so glad that I've evangelized. That kind of thing. This is Mom and Nellie at the Hingaog house. You do not mess with Mom and Nellie. She is 4'8" and dynamite. And she's wonderful. She is absolutely sweet. You do what Mom and Nellie tells you, and everything's good. If you don't do what Mom and Nellie tells you, nothing is good. But she takes care of those girls, and just what a blessing she is. She is so fun. This is a typical house. Want to live there? I wouldn't keep my lawnmower there. I wouldn't. But that's where they live. And it's not because they're necessarily poor. It's because, why not? This is easy to do. Let's do it. And you have to understand that some things are cultural differences, and some things we want to go in and change because we like it this way. And that's not necessarily what they need or what's best for them. Yeah, we want to keep them from killing themselves on beds that are falling over or ladders that can't hold your weight. We're glad to help and show them that. But some of this you kind of say, okay, well, all right. And part of the reason that they don't do better with this is they kind of have a really low self-image. They kind of feel like they don't deserve any better. And one of the things that we learned from Mark and Patty is that, you know, you're absolutely as valuable as us. They think that America is the answer. Anybody here think America is the answer? I mean, really? Who's that over there? I don't think so, no. And they really believe that we've got, there's no crime over here, that there's no poverty, that there are no problems. So we went over there to depress them and say, you know, what you really need is Jesus. Just a close-up of this little girl here. And this is just to remind you that the Filipinos and Filipinas are people just like you and me every day. They're just like us. You know, we kind of want to think they're on another side of the world and we're going to go over there and we're going to tell them about Jesus and we're going to change them. And we kind of forget the fact that there are people like that right here around us. One thing that I kind of came away with was how Mark and Patty just live their lives to be the gospel, to be the good news around them. I thought, well, what would that be like if, you know, say I did that and you did that here in our lives, that we just took a look at that and just decided that wherever we go, we're trying to represent Christ. And I thought, well, you know, somewhere in Matthew, doesn't it say something about that? You know, we're going to get there. But Jesus says to his disciples, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. So he says a couple things. You know, he says that all authority has been given to him and that he's with us. That kind of brackets that statement. I'm not going to get into this deeply because we will talk about it when we get there. But that's our safety net. That's saying that Jesus is with us and he has all authority. And so wherever we go, whether it's in the Philippines or it's right here, we can be that light because Jesus is with us. And just take a look around. And, you know, you look at this girl and you think about how sweet she is. But there are people like that right around you. There are people like that that need to hear that. I think the big thing that I learned in the Philippines is that it's no different over here. It's wetter. Well, maybe not wetter. It is cooler over here. And people don't smile as much, that's for sure. So I was over there and in the city, in the town, the village there, you smile at somebody, they smile back. You got a security guard with a sawed-off shotgun, you smile at him, he smiles back. You want to take their picture, they go, yeah, and then they want to see the picture. Over here, you know, they will not even give you another look if you do that kind of thing. I think the biggest problem here is this loneliness and this pushing away that we do. And I think that if we can be Jesus and just share that warmth and that love and that care about people, be interested in their lives, I think it goes a long way to being able to do the work that Mark and Patty do. Now I want to do two things here. I want to thank you very much for sending us all there. You guys were there with us when we were there. And it was without your prayers and without your financial support, we wouldn't have been able to go. So that was really a big deal. And I want to also really thank Mark and Patty for hosting us because they were wonderful, wonderful hosts. So thank you for sending us. And I want to kind of put the challenge out here and say, you know, if the Lord lays it on your heart, if you see anything here that you want to be part of, talk to me. If you want to go, or if you see a need that you think you can meet, whether financially or sending them something that they need, talk to me. We'd love to take this ministry and this support to the next level. It's a big deal. I'm done. Are there any questions? Yes, Jim.
Are you guys thinking about going again?
Yeah, I think we have to.
And also, do you think you'll be taking your partners with you? Like Debbie was mentioning, Mel knows about mechanics. He can fix some of that stuff that's not working. And
yeah.
What do you think?
I think he can and should. any other questions? Yeah, Richard.
Have you made any change sense of what their greatest needs are before we could help them all?
Their greatest need is a spiritual need, and I'm not trying to spiritualize. But their greatest need is to grasp that Jesus loves them as they are and who they are. There are a number of other needs. There's clearly a medical need. There's an infrastructure need. There's Bible teaching need. There's support for local pastors that are finally being, you know, getting light, the light of the gospel to that area. So, you know, I would say the biggest need, and I know this sounds a little cliche, would be to pray and pray that there's revival in that. I mean, God spurred my heart to that a couple nights in. It's like, I got to stand on the beach at night and just pray that these people would get the love of Jesus into their lives. Yeah.
Is the churches, are they persecuted? Is there some of that going on?
There's not. The churches aren't particularly persecuted. It's really a very Catholic and then evangelical presence there. So now you get farther south into the island, up in the mountains, there's a Muslim presence. So that happens. But on the coastal area, there's not much in the way of persecution. There's, I mean, some of the more manly men kind of mock the whole thing. And so the issue, too, is to get the men to realize that this is not just for the women. Yes?
What's it going to cost to get that fence rebuilt?
Can you work that up for me, Richard? What's it going to cost to get that fence rebuilt?
It's expensive. Mark was talking about thousands of dollars US.
Yeah, and that's maybe a project for us to take on. maybe go over there in a year, and we were talking about possible ways to do it. Chain link with bamboo slats or something would be a good way to do it.
Part of that expense is because concrete over there is so expensive versus what we pay for here, because nobody buys it, so the whole supply and demand thing comes in. And so if they sell concrete, they need to make a profit on it, and it becomes really, really expensive. I'd love to see a cinder block wall there, but that would be the most expensive way to go.
Yeah.
I can break through that current fence in seconds.
Yeah, you can just you pull it apart.
It's bamboo slats held together with, three or four rungs of barbed wire, so even if the bamboo slats were in great shape, if I have a wire cutter, snip, 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 and I just took out a 10-foot second fence. Yeah. So as a protection for the girls, it's really necessary.
The way the Nehemiah houses are set up, they try to not let people know where they are, and so they're kind of off to the side and hidden, but people do find out. Any other questions, real quick? Anybody?
I guess I had a question about the Nehemiah House girls. I know that you mentioned with you and Steve that they really loved you, but I didn't know how open they were for you being males and the perpetrators being males, and how well they just loved you guys. I guess I don't mean different being white Americans.
Didn't think about that. I mean, it just breaks your heart, but I think that they're getting an amazingly, comparative to the culture around them, they're getting an amazingly good, loving, caring environment. And there's certain rules that are set down. I mean, we're really not allowed to touch them. They can touch us. But in places we're not, as men, not allowed to go, and that's great. That's fine. It's boundaries. But I didn't really see that. I did see, you can sense some brokenness in various areas. I'll have to talk to you about that. One other question over here.
I was just wondering if that, a basket for Patty, because I mentioned the nurse, and she needs medical supplies, with bringing us blood and God and whatever she needs.
That's a good idea. It's a good idea. Yeah, we'll talk to Beth about that, because she's in constant contact with Patty and knows exactly what the greatest needs are right now. So, well, I'm gonna close with prayer. There may be more questions, and maybe take me to lunch and take Debbie to lunch. And we'll answer all your questions. That was really obvious, wasn't it? Okay. I like food. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Lord, thank you for Mark and Patty's ministry, and thank you that you are at work in the Philippines. Just thank you for giving us the opportunity to go over there and getting us back safely. Thank you for this church that has had the opportunity to see what's going on and be part of it. Lord, I pray that you will bless Mark and Patty, bless their ministry, and help us to know how we can love you by loving these girls and loving these people in this village and the whole area. Lord, give us wisdom. Help us to understand what we can do and what you want us to do. Let us be your instruments, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much.